Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Paul Kern.
Well, it is great to be with you here today. If you're a guest with us, we want to welcome you. My name is Paul Kern. I'm an associate pastor here on staff, and I am really excited about what I want to share with you this morning. Our vision this year has been stronger and stronger. And the scripture that we've used is Job 17:9. The righteous keep moving forward, but those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. So our goal is to become stronger, and mainly in our spiritual life. That's the whole focus. You know, the Bible talks about physical exercises of little gain, and it's good to work out physically, but we really want to focus on our spiritual life. Because if we're strong in our spiritual life, we're going to be strong across the board. You know, one of the things that we've been doing on Wednesday night, and it's just been incredible, is this Strong Life series that we've been working on. Man, we've had some great messages that have come forth from Pastor David and Pastor Josh and Pastor Tim. They've just been really, really good. We've talked about strong will and strong talk and strong attitude, strong finances, and we're about halfway through this series. So if you haven't been able to attend, man, we encourage you to come out and be a part of this or listen to the podcast, because they've really, really been great. But for all of these topics that we've been covering, and all the topics that we've been dealing with, strong will, strong talk, strong finances, strong, so many areas, and these are all great. But there's one area that is absolutely essential that we must be strong in if any of these other areas are going to work, and that's in the area of our love. And today I'm going to be talking to you about strong love. Strong love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter. You know, we've all read it and are familiar with it, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I do want to read a couple of verses to you. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all the secret plans of God and I possessed all knowledge, if I had faith that could move mountains, but I didn't love people, I would be nothing. You know, and I think if we took a poll here today in this auditorium, that we would all agree that love is the most important thing in life. That love is the thing that's more important than anything else. But even though we may agree that love is the most important thing, I think if we were all really honest, we would have to admit that we really don't know how to love all that well. That our love isn't strong like it needs to be. I think we spend so much time pursuing so many other things other than the most important thing in life, which is love. We want the perfect house. We want the perfect job. We want the perfect things. We want the perfect stuff. You know, we spend so much time pursuing these things, but church, the fact is, when all of this stuff is stripped away from our life, you know, when we come to the end of our life or some calamity comes into our life, all of these things that we deem to be so important, they're stripped away from us, and really ultimately we know that the only thing that really matters in life is people. People are the most important thing in our life, and how we love people is so important. The relationships that we have with people is so vital. I think about Jesus in the Bible, and a man came to him and he asked him, he said, Matthew 22, he said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You know, we don't really talk in that vernacular, so, you know, what's the point? Jesus, what's the point of life? And Jesus said, here's the point. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Loving God, that is the most important thing in life. And then Jesus goes on and he adds that and he says, and the second most important thing in life is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this echoes at a heart level what all of us in this room already know. We all know this. We all know, we would all agree that that is the most important thing. And even though we agree with that, as a people, if we were going to be really, really open and really, really honest, we'd have to admit we don't really love all that well. We neglect the people in our lives that are most important, and we put attention on things in our lives that really, in the big picture of things, the big significance of life, it doesn't really matter. Even people that we're closest to in our primary relationships, in our family, we don't even know how to love them like we're supposed to. We get distracted with our own selfish pursuits, our own selfish motivations. You know, I know when my boys were younger and I was pursuing so many things, that became a real struggle for me. I caught myself putting a lot of my attention in areas that were important to me, but I lost focus of the big picture. So how do we love strong? How do we love well? I mean, if that's the goal of life, is to love God and to love people, how do we make this happen? If we all agree that that's what we need to be doing. You know, I think as we are approaching Easter, you know, we're about to have an incredible ministry and display of the greatest love that has ever been demonstrated in all the world. And that's why Pastor Tim is encouraging us to get as many people as here that we can so that they can see that great display of love. You know, so if we want to understand love, I think the person that we want to look to the most is Jesus. Because Jesus revealed to us what love really is. He left heaven. He came to the muck and mire of our world, and he lived here among us, and he laid down his life for us. And Jesus revealed to us what true love really is. He modeled it in front of us for all of us to see. So that's how we can know what love is all about. You know, I don't think our culture really understands love all that well, honestly. I mean, we don't even understand the word love. I mean, it's so funny. You know, we kind of get together, love you, love you, have a good day, love you. You know us guys, love you, bro. Love you. Oh, I just love you. I love you so much. I love that outfit. I just love your new car. Oh, I love puppies. I just love puppies. Who doesn't love puppies? I love pizza. Here's a good one. I love coffee, especially early in the morning. See, I think our culture has really misunderstood what the word love really means because we've misused the word so much that we've really changed the definition of what love is. You know, you think about a couple that meets, a young couple, they meet. You know, we just love each other. Oh, y'all ever watch, you know, New Couples? It's sickening, isn't it? I mean, it's just like, come on. You guys, get your head out of the clouds. It's all drippy and mushy, and it's like, really? And then, you know, the rest of us that have been married for a while, you'll find out. You know, but you ask them, oh, we just love each other. We're so in love. And then they get a car payment, and they get a mortgage, and they get a couple of kids, and then you hear the statement, we fell out of love. I mean, we fell in love, we fell out of love, I fell in a hole, I fell out of a hole. How do we even do that? I mean, how is that even possible? See, this whole concept of love. But I think that we can look to the Scripture, and we can find what love really is about. As a matter of fact, go to 1 John chapter 4 with me, and we're going to look at a disciple that Jesus really loved. He was very close to this man. As a matter of fact, I like to call John a heart guy. John was a guy that lived life from the heart. You know, you meet people like that. They're heart people. They're feelers. You know, they feel deep. Everything that they feel deep. They're heart people. And John was a heart person. And so John begins to describe to us in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, what love really looks like. What love really is. And in verse 7 it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." That's the first big truth. Love comes from God. Look at verse 8. "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." That's the second big concept. Love comes from God, and love is God, or God is love. I want to look at this for a minute. Love comes from God. The Bible says that love comes from God. But you know, in our Western culture, we don't teach that. We teach that love comes from within. And if you look within yourself, you'll find love. You'll find acceptance. You'll find love. If you look within yourself, you have everything that you need within you to love yourself. That's what our culture teaches. Any websites you go to, any pop psychologist you go to, that's what they're all teaching. It's all about finding love from within yourself. As a matter of fact, if you want to find out what love means today, I mean, in our culture, where do you go? You Google it, right? And so I went to Google and I just typed in, "How do I love myself?" And I pulled up a whole bunch of information, but the number one hit with almost 300,000 shares was 30 ways to love yourself. And so I just copied a few of these down because I wanted to share them with you this morning. They were really interesting. And you know, I want all of us to know how to love. I mean, that's the whole point of what I'm doing here. So number 11, I really like this one because this is good. It says, "Reunite with old friends from school, from college, and your past in general. Let go of friendships that no longer serve you. People grow apart. It's only natural and it's okay." So you need to connect with old friends, but only friends that serve you. Because isn't that the point of friendship? Is that we have friends that serve us, friends that meet our needs. And as long as you're meeting my need and you're serving me well, then you and I can be friends and we can connect. But if you're not serving me well, then, you know, I don't necessarily need you in my life. I like this next one, and boy, this is a really good one, number 17. Watch that movie or Netflix series that you've been meaning to see. Man, some of you are like, "Boy, I got this one knocked out of the park. I've been doing this all week long. It's been spring break. I know how to love. I've been watching my Netflix." So far we've learned that, you know, you need to connect with old friends, old college people, you know, old acquaintances, you know, but only those that serve you. And then you need to watch a movie or a Netflix, and that's how you love. I like this next one. Number 9, take a lot of pictures. Take way too many. Don't forget to print them. Don't let them just sit in your phone memory. Aren't we already taking way too many pictures already? I mean, we are the selfie generation. How many more pictures do we need? I was in Walgreens the other day. I Snapchatted a picture of a bag of chips. And then I was at my eye doctor and I Snapchatted a picture of a moose that was sitting on the countertop. It intrigued me. And then when I finished, I looked at my son and I thought to myself, "What am I doing?" Here's another one. Spend more time with your girlfriends or your guy friends. Relationships come and go, but friends are forever. Cherish that. Except those that don't serve you well. Here's a good one. Spend time alone. It's okay if you want to stay home on a Friday night, catch up on your DVR, and eat Froyo because you've had an exhausting work week. You deserve it. Spend time with friends, but wait, no, spend time alone. I'm confused. Which one am I supposed to do? This is such a contradiction. And one more last one that I thought was really, really interesting, and I just had to share this one with you because this is the key to loving people. Eat less processed foods. Isn't that important? That's going to help you love people more, is that you eat less processed foods. Wow, I didn't know that. But see, this is how confused we are in our culture about what love is. The top hit on Google, 30 ways to love yourself with almost 300,000 shares, and this is the best we can do, really? This blog is just basically saying this. Just do whatever you want. Make life all about you. And as long as you're happy, and as long as you're fulfilled, and as long as you are satisfied, then you are loving well. But church, if we are our primary source of love, and we can look inside ourselves for love, then why do we need other people? Why do we all have this inner desire to connect with people? Even when we don't want to be around people, we feel lonely because we want to connect at a heart level with people. But why do we need anyone else? If love comes from within and we're complete within ourselves, why do we need anyone else? But see, the Bible says that love doesn't come from ourselves. Love doesn't come from our friends. It doesn't come from our family. We can't get it from a job. We can't find it from our hobbies. No, the Bible says that love comes from God. Love comes from God. And then and only then, when we know that truth and we grasp that reality and walk in that revelation, can we truly love. The second big one, it's a big truth. God is love. Now, I think we can all agree on this. I mean, whether you are religious or non-religious or whatever denomination that you are from, I think pretty much everybody could agree that God is love. There's not a lot of argument from that. You hear people say that all the time, all over the place. God is love. But what we really mean is that love is God. We reverse it. And that's important that we recognize this because we, in our generation, we like to give love our own definition. See, we want to redefine what love means. See, instead of the Bible telling us what love really is and what love is really like, we want to redefine love. And I think that's why people have such a hard time with God. Especially the God of the Bible. Because when they see things that God has done in the Bible, and they see the way that God has moved in the history of mankind in the Bible, it's very difficult for them to reconcile that God with their definition of what love is. See, we want to insert our own definition, our own ideas of what love is. And we do that from our own corrupt nature, our own misguided intellect. But if God is love, then everything that God has ever done, since the creation of the world, every act that God has ever done in the Bible was done out of love. And church, here's the thing. We have a hard time with that. But we have to understand something. We don't get to define what love is. And I want to make sure that we all understand that in this room. We don't get to define what love is. God does. God defines love. Think about this. God is love. God is love. That means that He was love before He created anything, anyone. The planets, the stars, the moon, our universe, the oceans, the world, anything that God created, God was love before any of this. And this is important because if God is love, then He had all the love that He needed before He created the universe, before He created you and me. And I think it's so important that we understand this because, and just think with me just a minute. Let's just explore this. Because this means that God is not a singular being. Because you can't be singular in love. It takes more than one. So we see the Father, and we see the Son, and we see the Holy Spirit in this beautiful, incredible, powerful, pure, loving union before we were ever even created. They had this going on. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they loved each other. And church, that was all the love that they needed. That was it. That was all the love that they needed. Meaning God did not create you and me because He needed someone to love Him. But see, a lot of people in Christianity today, they're very confused. They think that God created us because God needed someone to love Him. Like God needed a pet. And so like us, we go to Walmart, we buy us a little hamster, and we get a cage, and we put it on a wheel, or we get two or three gerbils or whatever, and we have pets, and you know, that makes us feel better. And so we're all God's little hamsters. But that's not what God was doing. God already had all the love that He needed before He created us. So here is the question that is really pressing. Then why did God create you? Well, I'll tell you why God created you. God created you because He wanted to share this incredible, powerful, intimate union of love with you. I mean, isn't that what we do when we love people? Don't we share things with people that we love? Here, have a piece of my gum. You know, that's what social media is driven by, right? We share things. We want to share a picture, we're going to share an article, or we're going to share a recipe, or we're going to share a moment, and people like it, and we want them to experience that because we love them, and we share things with people. Here, have a bite. Here, try this. Have a taste. Here, come go with us on vacation. Let's share this experience together because when you love people, you share. And that's exactly what God was doing. God loved us so much that He wanted you and I to get to experience how awesome and amazing and incredible this love relationship that He has with His Son and the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Look with me in John chapter 4, verse 10. Look at this scripture. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And I think sometimes, you know, if we were really open and honest in here today, I think sometimes we think we're doing God a favor by loving Him. I think we're doing God a favor. And I think that's why we get frustrated when God doesn't do what we want. All right, God, come bless me. I'm doing what You wanted me to do. I'm serving. I'm doing. God, come bless me. Give me Your favor. And then when God doesn't, it's like, well, wait a minute, God. I'm loving You. I'm serving You. Why aren't You doing for me what You owe me because I'm doing for You? This is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us first. This verse means that you were not looking for God. You were not pursuing God. God was pursuing you. God was looking for you. God's love was coming after you. I remember when God's love found me at 23. It was amazing. It was incredible. It was something I'd been looking for my whole life that my family couldn't give me, that work couldn't give me, that friends couldn't give me, that no one could give me, but only God could give me. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us first. And because He loved us first, it shows us that God is love. As a matter of fact, if we were to take a poll in this room, we'd probably say for many of us, there's been times that we've gone for days without talking to God. Weeks even. For some, maybe even months. There's been times we've been mad at God, frustrated with God. I mean, there was a time in my life that it would have been just as good for me if God was dead. Because that would have meant that I didn't have to be accountable to Him when I died. So it's amazing the range of human emotion that takes place in our life. But the Bible says that while we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. While we were sinners. See, we didn't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. Because God is love, and God defines love, and God tells us what love is. And church, when this hits you, it changes you. I mean, it literally changes you from the inside out. When this really hits you, this revelation of the love of God, when it impacts you, you're never the same. It literally changes everything about your life. Yep. Yep. You know, we have a outdoor cat over at our house that we've had for a number of years. She adopted us. She multiplied and made many for us. We're really appreciative of that. But out of all the cats, we just have her left. And so, you know, she's older, and I try to take care of her, so I take the water bowl out, and I take the food bowl out at night and fill it up and make sure she's cared for because, you know, I love the cat. I'll make sure the cat's all right. And, you know, the routine around our house is about 10:30, we got to let the dogs out, and we got a couple of dogs, and so I open the door, and I let the dogs out to go to the bathroom, and here lately, it's just been the most horrible experience. I mean, it's terrible. Because I look over at the cat bowl, and there are dozens of slugs, all over the cat bowl in my wall in my garage. And I'm just like, the first time I saw it, I was so repulsed. I was like, what is going on? And slugs are disgusting. They are so disgusting, but slugs like cat food. I didn't know that. And so I was talking to, you know, one of our members this morning who knows everything about horticulture and stuff, and they just said, go buy a can of beer and pour it out, and they'll go in the, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to go buy a can of beer. Everybody in my church will see me buying beer. That'd be the last thing I need to do. Hey, Paul, what are you doing? I'm buying some beer for my slugs. Sure, they're going to believe that. No, really, I am. He told me to. So I get the bowl and I take it out in the, because right around the corner is where azaleas and plants and stuff are, and I guess they're crawling out of that. So I go out there and I beat that thing on the rock and I get all those, I mean, those slugs, throwing it across my yard. Those things will stick to you. And I'm in my garage and I'm picking them up and they're all slimy. Oh, they're disgusting. And they stick, the slime, it won't come off. You go and get hot water in Dawn. I mean, I even got my orange can of hand cleaner with the grit stuff in it. I can't get the slime. They're disgusting. But let's just say for a minute that I picked up one of these slugs, and as I was getting ready to throw this little slimy thing out in my grass, all of a sudden I was overwhelmed with compassion for this slug. And I just was like, I love this slug. I can't throw this slug. I can't harm this slug. I mean, poor little slug. Look at him. He's just a slug. And so I take this slug into my hands. And I'm holding him. And let's just take it a little further. Let's just say all of a sudden I'm just so overwhelmed with love for this slug that I got to care for this slug. I got to feed my slug. I got to shelter my slug. I got to give my slug water. I got to keep him safe. I can't let some bird come and get him, or, you know, because I love this slug. How crazy would that be? But, you know, if you were to compare that slug to me, I mean, the gap between our value, our worth, our significance, our position, our importance is so different, so vastly different. I mean, they don't even compare. And as great as that difference is, church, it's infinitely smaller when you compare God with us. And see, when you begin to get a hold of and you begin to understand the reality of the love of God for us, the Father's love for us, that the Father he loved us so much that he was willing to give his only son, to die for a slug, for a worm. See, that's the Father's heart. That's the love of God. Yet it's amazing that God loves us. Out of all of the universe, the stars, the moon, the skies, the Milky Way, the myriad of universes that are out there in galaxies, that God makes us the focus of his attention and his love. And then it says, since God so loved us, that we must love one another. So this is how you have strong love. As you begin to realize that love, it can't come from your family. It can't come from your job. It can't come from your possessions or your social status or your looks. Love comes from one source, and that's God. Because God is love. And when God fills us with that love, church, then and only then can we love each other well. Because we're slugs. You know, it's horrible, but we have these thoughts about people. People in our families, people in our lives, people that we know, we have these thoughts. It's like, you know, you're like an irritant to me. You're like a slug in the cat bowl. Get out. But when Christ comes inside and the love of God fills us, Then and only then are we able to say, I love you. I love you. See, that's the only thing that can compel us to go grab some of these cards about the risen ministry that we're about to have here in a few weeks. That's the only thing that can compel us to go out and hand them out to people. It's not because people are so awesome or people are so good looking or people are so amazing or people are so wonderful, because the fact is most of us aren't. But it's because God is. And God loves us so much that we're compelled to share that love. And today my prayer is you're sitting here in this room that you will experience the love of the Father that He has for you, and you can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. It's free from our Father who is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Stand with me this morning and let's close in prayer. Let's bow our heads. If you're here with us today and you've been struggling, trying to grasp the love of God, trying to make God love you. Maybe you're even here today and you don't even know Jesus. Maybe you're here today and it's been like, you know, Paul, I've been going through the motions. You know, I'm a religious person, but I'm not a spiritual person. I'm an okay guy, I'm an okay girl, but I'm just not connected with the heart of the Father. And today, I don't want you to leave this room without gaining that incredible love relationship with the Father. So, Father, today, I pray that your love will be poured out upon CMC and all the people in this room and all those listening to this podcast, God, that you will pour out your love on them. God, that you will infect them with love, that your love will course through their veins and through their blood. And God, as you transform us by your love, that we'll be saved, that we will know you and we will experience that relationship that you had before the beginning of the world that you wanted all of us to get to partake in. God, help us to grab hold of that revelation today. Lord, help us to experience your love, and by experiencing your love, we love others. God, today we love you. Teach us, God, to love. Reveal to us the reality of your love. And God, help us by your Holy Spirit to love others well, so that in 2017, that our love will grow stronger and stronger in Christ Jesus. Everybody say this with me. Jesus, make me a vessel of your love. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.